Be by Blake McClelland, and I guess, for lack of a better term, Blake could be called the acting cotton specialist in Arkansas. For those of you that knew Tom Barber, who I think is in the room, Tom is now doing some weed science related work, and Arkansas is looking for a cotton specialist. And kind of in his new role, Tom doesn't have a lot of time to do this, so Blake has kind of stepped in and done some of that. I will say a word about this project. This is one that I've done as well, and looking at different varieties under irrigated and non-irrigated conditions. One of the ways that he'll talk about we've done this is through box mapping. And if you've ever box mapped cotton, about the only thing more painful may be getting ran over by the streetcar out in front of the hotel. It's a very time-consuming process. I know I have about 8 guys working for me. We spent 5 afternoons in a row trying to get this test box mapped, and we worked till dark every day. Very time-consuming to do this, very intensive to analyze the data. I mean, it generates just a tremendous amount of data. But as you'll see from Blake, it generates some data that you really can't get anywhere else. When it talks about fruit distribution, how different varieties differ and where they place fruit, whether it be first position, second positions, third positions, zone, you know, like a 5 through 8 on in terms of nodes, 9 through 12 or 12 and above. And one of the things that are good about these kind of data, I know when I talk to my growers in the fall about defoliating, oftentimes I always get the remark, I'm waiting on my top crop, I'm waiting on my top crop, and I got to have the top crop. And in a lot of cases, if you look at where what has actually been contributed to yield in that top crop, it's not worth waiting on. The risk far outweighs the rewards on that, but we kind of want to get every one that we can, and I'm hoping through some of the data that Blake's going to show you, we can kind of talk about that and some other things. With that, I'll turn it over to Blake and let you have it.
Thanks, Darren. Before I begin, I just want to acknowledge our crews that we have that work for us, that they were the ones that were box mapping our varieties in Arkansas as I was out harvesting the variety trials. And as Darren said, that's a tedious process, and I couldn't have done it without them. And I think they spent 3 days doing just box mapping, and I'm pretty sure they probably wanted to quit on me, but it was so close to Thanksgiving they decided to stay on. So I really appreciate them taking their time and doing that. But the title of this presentation is Cotton Cultivar Evaluation Under Irrigated and Non-Irrigated Conditions. And I'll have to apologize up front. I'll interchange the word cultivar and variety throughout this entire presentation, so I'll just get that out first. But I do want to acknowledge my co-authors in this project. The first was Dr. Tom Barber. He's with us at the University of Arkansas. Like Darren said, he has switched to weed science. And, we have got a good person over there doing our cotton weed science work. Mike Jones is from Clemson University. Darren Dodds, of course, with Mississippi State. And Chris Main actually did some of this work last year before he switched over and went to work for Phytogen. Now, this presentation is going to be accumulation of 2012 and 2013 data. So the reasoning behind this project, why did we do this project? Well, in 2011, Cotton Incorporated sent out a producer survey trying to find what the producers thought were some of the worthy things that they needed to be spending their money on. We saw that water was one of the top key issues that across the entire survey. We see that 885 producers responded to this. So we see that quite a few producers that we have think that water is one of our main issues. Producers want to know what to expect from these new varieties. We're having new variety turnover, quite a few varieties turnover year after year, and producers are wanting to know how to grow these varieties to get the best results out of it. And cotton tolerance to heat and drought was ranked as the number 4 key issue. We have a lot of producers that have are in arid regions or in regions where it gets quite hot. And we know that even though cotton is a subtropical or is a tropical plant in its history, we know that we have brought it up to the United States in a subtropical environment, but it still gets hot. So we've kind of adapted some of that heat resistance out of it. And they wanted to know if there was varieties that will handle some of the stress from heat. As I was putting this presentation together, I wanted to know about some of the other authors, I wanted to get their opinion on the irrigated acres in their state. I know that in Arkansas, we're 89% irrigated. The biggest part of our cotton acreage is irrigated. And if you talk to a lot of our producers, they're not going to grow cotton on non-irrigated ground because they just can't get the kind of yield out of that as they can irrigated acres. Furrow irrigation has become much more popular in Arkansas. We have places where we are under pivots. That's the only way we can irrigate cotton. And we have places that we are we can furrow irrigate and they're under pivots. They are actually taking those pivots down in favor of furrow irrigation because we've seen some stress from the lack of water that we can get out of those pivots. In Mississippi, according to Darren, they're 40 to 50% irrigated, and out of that, 60 to 70% of that is furrow. South Carolina is 15 to 20%, mostly under the center pivot. And in Tennessee, they're only about 10%, again, mostly under the center pivot. And talking to Mike and Chris about this, I asked them why their irrigated acres are so low. According to them, it's just field size. They're small field size. They can't get pivots into those small, oddly shaped fields. So this presentation could help in some of those places where you are dry land only. So some questions to answer. When I built this presentation, I thought if I was a producer, what question would I want to get answered out of this data? And one, is the distribution of bowls equal between irrigated and non-irrigated conditions? What varieties are going to perform well in non-irrigated or poorly irrigated conditions? Do we have varieties that are going to be more stress tolerant? And what varieties are performing the best in the irrigated conditions? Which varieties perform well overall? Do we have varieties that I can plant across my farm in both types of irrigated and non-irrigated conditions? So some previous research on water stress, we see that yield closely associated with the rate of increase in plant height during maximum growth. Moisture stress is going to cause a reduced yield. And high yield potential, we need to avoid stress to have high yield potential. This chart just shows the stages of cotton where we will see the most severe yield loss due to water stress. And it also shows how that affects fiber quality. And we'll see that the first 30 days of development is crucial to avoid stress. Some previous research on fiber impacts will be that seed quality and seed index is more sensitive to moisture stress than staple or micronaire. Micronaire reports are mixed. We've seen some indications where drought stress actually reduces micronaire, but we've also seen cases where it increased micronaire. And micronaire can be reduced if drought stress occurs during the secondary cell wall thickening. Drought stress can reduce the fiber length, but adequate water can increase fiber length. So what was the procedure on this? We used a split plot treatment. We had irrigated and non-irrigated plots, which was the main plots. We also had 9 main varieties across 4 locations in 2013. We harvested with a spindle picker and took grab bag samples before harvest so we could measure quality. We also box mapped, as Darren said, we box mapped each of these varieties. Management was done through the state extension recommendations, and PGR management was based on growth. We harvested and applied harvest aid based on block maturity and not all at once. The locations were the Mariana location, and we irrigated that location on a 2-inch deficit. The Starkville location, also on a 2-inch deficit. The Jackson, Tennessee location was in 2012 only, and they used a subsurface drip at a rate of 1 inch of water per week. The South Carolina location was an overhead lateral at a rate of 1 inch of water every 2 weeks. These are the varieties tested. You can see that Delta Pine entered 3 varieties, which was 1137, 1311, and 1321. Fibermax, which is 1944. Phytogen had 3 varieties, 333, 339, and 499. And Stoneville had 49, 46, and 64, 48. We chose these varieties because they were pretty well adapted to all of the areas that we were conducting the trial in. However, some more varieties were added to each location that were specific to that state's needs. When we looked at the box mapping, and we looked at seed cotton by weight, we noticed that the irrigated first position bowls were, we found more first position bowls, and it was a higher percentage of weight across the irrigated conditions and the non-irrigated conditions. This was significantly different between irrigated and non-irrigated. The second position was the same, and so was the third, but we are producing more of the cotton on the first position bowls, which we have termed the money bowls. When we looked at node, where we were putting the seed cotton on by node, actually found that on dry land conditions, nodes 5 through 8 actually produced more seed cotton on the dry land than the irrigated. However, the irrigated cotton looked to be more even in its weight distribution of the cotton. When we looked at a percentage of total weight, you can see that first position was even. The percentage of total weight of irrigated cotton on the first position was equal to the percentage of total weight of the seed cotton on the first position in the non-irrigated conditions. The only place where it was significantly different was in the third position. When we looked at end-of-season height, we found a significant difference between irrigated and non-irrigated conditions. We found that overall, the irrigated conditions were about 38 inches and the non-irrigated were 32 inches tall. Wasn't really surprised by that. When we looked at end-of-season height by variety, we found that there were few varieties that were significantly taller in the irrigated conditions versus the non-irrigated conditions. We found that 1137 and 499 were taller, significantly taller than 6448, 339, and 1321. However, these were taller than the rest of the varieties in the trial. In the non-irrigated conditions, we saw the same. The only variety that switched places was Delta Pine 1321. It was significantly shorter in the non-irrigated conditions. When we looked at irrigated versus non-irrigated overall, we found, again, not really surprising that the yield was much higher in the irrigated conditions. Although in this trial, the yield was good in both conditions. Overall yield, we found that phytogen 499, 333, and 339 were significantly higher than the other varieties in the trial. However, there wasn't a variety that was significantly different than all the varieties in the trial. Not one variety stood out from all the rest significantly, only numerically. It was the same way in irrigated yield by variety. We saw that although all the varieties did very well, not one variety was significantly different than all the varieties. However, there was quite a bit of numerical difference between the first variety, 499, and Fibromax 1944. It was the same when the non-irrigated yield. You can see that phytogen 333 was numerically much higher than phytogen Fibromax 1944. That part was significant, but not one variety, again, was significantly greater than all the varieties in the trial. This just indicates that we're having some varietal difference in these trials. When we looked at turnout, although this chart doesn't represent this very well, we didn't see a significant difference in the irrigated versus non-irrigated conditions. And we looked at turnout by variety. I was actually surprised to find out that the turnout for non-irrigated conditions were higher than the irrigated conditions across almost all the varieties. The only variety where it wasn't true was in Fibromax 1944. For the quality results, we noticed that Micronair, we found the same as the previous literature research. The irrigated was slightly lower, significantly lower than the non-irrigated conditions. Variety results were mixed though, and we saw that some varieties, the Micronair was actually higher in the irrigated than the non-irrigated conditions. It was the same with strength. Overall, the strength was significantly impacted by irrigation. Variety results were also mixed in the strength category. When we looked at uniformity, it was significantly impacted by irrigation. Now, when we looked at uniformity, something else was surprising, in that Delta Pine 1321, the irrigated and non-irrigated scenarios were not significantly different from each other. And the same was with Delta Pine 1137. They were not significantly different. In length, the irrigated trial was significantly longer than the non-irrigated. And we also found that there were varieties in there that were had significantly longer length in both non- and irrigated conditions. So just a summary of the results. On a percentage basis, the only significant difference in weight distribution was on the third position of the plants in the irrigated and non-irrigated scenarios. Overall, more seed cotton was distributed on nodes 5 through 8 in the non-irrigated condition. More seed cotton was distributed between nodes 9 and above in the irrigated scenario. Irrigation has proved to prolong the fruiting stages in that scenario. Overall, plant height was significantly affected by irrigation. Use of PGRs may be needed in irrigated conditions to keep that plant height slow that plant height down. And overall turnout was not significantly affected by irrigation. Only varietal differences were shown. This chart actually shows the rankings of all the varieties and how they rank in each of the scenarios. Overall, you can see that phytogen 499, 333, and 339 ranked 1, 2, and 3 in the overall. However, their results were mixed in the irrigated and non-irrigated conditions. The highest ranking variety that was actually equal in all scenarios was Stoneville 6448, and it ranked 5th across all scenarios. So in conclusion, we see that all the varieties responded well to irrigation. Although all the varieties did well, and not one variety was significantly different than the others, phytogen 333, 339, and 499 yielded significantly better than the other varieties across all the locations overall. If plant height is needed, if we have a field that you struggle to get plant height, or it's a tough field, Delta Pine 1137 and 1321, phytogen 499 and 339, and Stoneville 6448 show significantly greater plant height than the other varieties in the trial. This can be used anytime you struggle to get canopy closure in a field. That way you can help later on after lay-by with weed control. Thank you. And I'd also like to acknowledge Cotton Incorporated and their help with funding for these trials. Any questions? Yes, sir. I think they were all 38-inch row. I know they were at Mariana, and I think they all were what I would consider standard width.
Yeah. Any additional?
One back there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If it was needed. Now, I know in the Mariana location, we didn't on the non-irrigated side. It could. I do know that at our location at Mariana, we didn't get much plant stature anyway in the non-irrigated condition. In fact, we struggled to even get some canopy closure there with some of the varieties. However, on the irrigated side, we struggled to keep it in check because some of those varieties were so aggressive, especially the 499 and the 6448 were so aggressively growing that we struggled to keep those at a normal plant height. Anything else?
All right.
Thank you.